This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Sam.
And I'm Melissa.
I grew up in the FLDS community. It is a polygamous group run by Warren Jeffs, and I moved out when I was 18 years old.
I was raised LDS. Sam and I have been married for 9 years and have two awesome kiddos.
Yes, we do. We want to quickly thank our donors, YouTube members, and our patrons on Patreon. We really do appreciate the love and support.
Yes, today we are back with the series that we've been doing with Mike King and Sam out in Short Creek and giving us a tour, showing us different places and getting the perspective of law enforcement as well as Sam's perspective growing up as a boy there.
Yes, and we're back here on another rainy day in Short Creek area, and today we are visiting the Isaac Carling Cemetery, and this is the primary cemetery for both Hilldale and Colorado City area.
Yes, let's get into it.
Hey everybody, I'm Mike from Profiling Evil.
And I'm Sam from Growing Up in Polygamy.
You know, we're wrapping up this tour of Hilldale, Colorado City, Sam, and I gotta tell you, it's just really been a joy for me to spend time with you, talk about things, not only from my perspective, but to hear your perspective on things growing up. It's gotta be a little surreal to come back and have a different mindset that you had as a kid.
It is. It is very surreal, and we're currently standing in the cemetery where I have a lot of loved ones buried, and it is definitely surreal, and it brings back so many memories, and especially for those that are buried here, the life that they lived. It's definitely been a great journey, and I appreciate you coming out here with me and going throughout the community and talking about these experiences.
Well, it's been my pleasure, you know, and I can't think of a more fitting place to end our discussion than in a cemetery. And we actually, folks, chose not to go to the tomb or the grave of Rulon Allred or Johnson or any of the other leaders.
I think he meant to say Rulon Jeffs, by the way.
I know. I was like, is Rulon Allred buried down here in Short
Creek? I don't think Rulon Allred is anywhere near the cemetery.
Okay. I'm pretty sure he was buried in Salt Lake.
Right. So I just want to, but it's confusing though.
There's lots of Rulons.
Right, because the Allred group is, or the Allred last name is also very prominent within the FLDS as well. So it's a kind of a confusing name between the Allreds and the Jeffs. So it's kind of confusing. So it's not surprising that he thought of Allred.
Yeah, they're polygamous cousins, and they have a lot of Rulons in the line
that have been a part of the FLDS history. But more to just talk about the fact that the cemetery has some pretty unique things as well. Now, your family's buried here, and in this video that we took with the drone looking at the area and kind of passing by the graves, one thing that just continues to stick out in my mind is the fact that this is unlike any other cemetery where all the graves have a mound of dirt over the top of them. Yes. And I wondered what your thoughts were growing up in the community. Probably never even thought about it.
Well, I thought about it, but I assumed it was normal. Honestly, I expected every graveyard to have mounds of dirt where the person was buried. And I assumed that it was just to give a very obvious, I guess, indication of where the gravesite was. Not all of these gravesites have a big plaque or a big tombstone of some kind. And so I assumed it was a kind of like a marker.
Yeah, well, it does become actually a marker, doesn't it? In fact, the Salt Lake Tribune actually ran an article about this very question.
Oh.
And they came up with a couple of things and couldn't answer the question either. But the answers they came up with were kind of twofold. One was that there is a question about whether it had something to do with pioneer heritage and the fact that they buried this way. It's out in the middle of nowhere. And it's just the way things were done. Another angle was, I think, one that makes a whole lot more sense to me, and that is that it just makes perfect sense. If you're going to put a coffin in the ground after you've removed dirt, there's going to be excess dirt.
Where do you put the dirt? Hey, that might be exactly what it was all about. And maybe it started because of that. And then from then on, they said, hey, this is perfect. Let's just do this for all of the graves.
Yeah, it's interesting as you drive around through the cemetery, and we're going to give you a shot of this in just a moment, folks, but even in some areas, the family members who have survived this person that's deceased have even gone as far as piling it with rocks. And that goes back in what I've been able to uncover in history. And again, it's all folklore history, but it goes back to the plains when they used to bury people on the plains. And they were so fearful of the wolves or other animals digging them up and eating their loved ones that they started putting rocks on to make it just that much more difficult.
And you see that today. You see that in some grave sites as well, where they still do that today.
Yeah, we're a lot of these graves, they've started putting rock on top of the graves themselves.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So it kind of gives us a little insight into some of the behavior of the people as they're burying them and the way they're making decisions.
Did any of your family use rock on any of the grave sites?
Not that I'm aware of, no. I've seen the mounds of dirt, and that was very common. When I was a young boy, we would visit this graveyard, and we would bring flowers to some of our ancestors, and we would visit the graves, and we knew where the grave sites were. So it was, I'm trying to remember back, I do not think there was ever mounds of rock. I think it was just a mound of dirt and then a plaque of some kind.
Okay.
There was in my family, a recent accident and tragedy where one of my older brothers and his wife and child all were killed in a plane crash.
Oh,
and
goodness.
They're buried just down here. And so that was a very sudden and unfortunate accident that was very hard for the family.
I am so sorry to hear that.
So he actually was no longer a part of the FLDS church, and his wife also came from the FLDS church, and both of them had left, and they were still buried here. So that goes to show that there is still that possibility, I guess, that if you were raised in the church, you still can be buried here.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was going to be my other thing is, I think we've had people ask us that before, whether or not you have to still be out there. Can apostates be buried out there? And they were still able to be buried near like the rest of the family too, the other family plots, which was really nice.
Yeah, it is interesting to see that, at least in what I've experienced and what I've seen, though there are the differences in life and the different decisions that people make leaving the church or no longer believing that one of the prophets like Warren Jeffs is a prophet, at the end of someone's life, family still, in a way, does come together.
Yeah.
And I've seen that to some extent. Of course, there's still the religious rituals, I guess you could say, religious meetings that apostates are not allowed to attend. But family still does come together, and it seems, to some extent, at least want that camaraderie and that support from one another when someone does pass away.
Yeah, that's another question that we get sometimes is like whether or not we are allowed to go to funerals, like if a mother passes away, and we had that happen where the first mother passed away and they had a separate viewing for the apostate children and grandchildren, separate from the rest of the family. So like you said, still get to be involved. We still knew about it. We weren't like cut off from the knowledge of it, still invited to a separate, but then there, it still is separate because they worry about people being influenced if they are like in the same room and chatting and catching up with apostates, and that can be problematic. So there's still separation, but we are just grateful that we still got to hear about it and still participate in some way.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing. It's so hard to know because every family is different. Every individual is different. I know people that are still believing in Warren Jeffs that would probably write in their eulogy that they don't want apostates to be anywhere near them when they pass away because they're just that strong-headed when it comes to their beliefs in Warren Jeffs and their this is a strong word, but it almost seems their hatred towards those that have left the church, even if they're family. So it depends on the family, depends on the individual. Everything is a little bit different. And I do know, and I've heard of people that even though they were okay, or I guess they probably didn't have much of a say in the matter, but that at the end of their life, they did write their eulogy, and it was very hurtful to some family members that had left the church because, I mean, they still have their strong opinions about what's right and what's wrong.
Strong testimony.
And those that have left are in the wrong, and if only they could be more like those that had stayed in, that kind of speech. And so, yeah, it can be hurtful when someone comes to the end of their life here still with a very strong opinion that they have the only truth and that everyone else is in the wrong.
Yeah. If you want to hear more of what it was like for Sam to grow up in polygamy, or I believe we have one more video in this series, please like and subscribe.
Yes, and I believe we will also be doing some other things like a live to kind of discuss it live, and you're all welcome to join that with Mike King. More information to come there as well. But thank you all so much for being here with us today. We look forward to talking with you soon.
Talk to you all soon.